Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Amen. A little better than you were when you walked in, I hope. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. Today's an exciting Sunday. It is kickoff Sunday for groups, and groups are a very important part of what we do here at Bridge City Church. Groups are where we experience not only pastoral care, but we experience community and unity and growth, and we get challenged and equipped and empowered to do exactly what God's calling us to do. And I'm so excited for groups to be kicking off today. But before we continue our Transformed series, I just want to pray. And we're talking a lot about the relationships that transform us. And let's just pray. Amen? Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, I thank you for what you've already done in this place today. And Lord, I come before you with so many of your sons and daughters, Lord, with great expectation for what you're going to do. Lord, may we hear your words this morning. Lord, may they not go upon deaf ears, Lord, but the ears of doers. Lord, may we take what we hear this morning and allow for it to impact our lives and impact the lives of others. God, we just submit the remainder of our time here this morning to you, and may it impact the remainder of our week, the remainder of our month, and the remainder of our year and lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 We've been kicking off every single week with the same two verses. And by the end of our time, you should be able to recite these verses. You know, it's interesting. This series was only supposed to be 4 weeks long, but it's turned into being eight, because we can be transformed and should be transformed in so many ways by the Word of God. And there's so many different ways that we are transformed. And we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about relationships. But let's kick off our time today reading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want to read it together. So I'll kick us off, and then you guys just jump in. How's that sound? Okay. So before we do that, little ground rules. Again, I kind of do this all the time. But if I ask a question, I like audience participation. That means you answer the question, okay? You're allowed to talk in church. I don't know where it was said, like, be silent and don't talk and don't have interaction. Community means that you have interaction with those that you're with, okay? We're going to read these two verses. I'm going to kick it off, and then you all are going to jump in. Sound good?
Yeah.
Whoa, thank you for not just giving me a woo. It's actual words. Here we go. I appeal. All right, here we go. The reading's hard. It really is, especially with all your friends and strangers. All right. I'll say I, and then you guys can go with appeal. And then I'll jump in with you. All right. The Word of God's fun. It is. I
appeal
to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Great job. You guys did wonderful. I was scared about the commas. The commas, sometimes people don't pause, and I'm like, oh man, I saw that first one coming. I was really worried. Listen, it is powerful when we read the Word of God. And you may read this and you may think, how in the world does this relate to relationships? It does in every way. Because you and the person sitting next to you and the person behind you in front of you has a predisposed mindset when it comes to relationships. You have a mindset that instantly pops into your head when I start talking about relationships, either good, bad, or indifferent. You've had great relationships that have impacted your life in a positive way. You've had horrible relationships that have impacted your life in a negative way, or you haven't had relationships at all. But we are called to be having our minds renewed, transformed, and we are called for it all to be good and acceptable and pleasing to God. So, it is my prayer. It is the prayer of the leadership, the pastors, the elders, the connection group leaders, that our mindset towards relationship is honoring and pleasing to God. So, I am going to blatantly point toward groups today and the power of relationships that happen through groups. I am going to blatantly push towards connection groups today. Just letting you know up front. Because I believe with all of my being that relationships can and will change and transform your life. Why do I believe this? Because it happened to me. I'm going to share a little bit with you. I'll be vulnerable with you today as if I'm not every other Sunday, but today is important to me because groups are important to me. I grew up in White Oak, the White Oak McKeesport area, and I grew up a scared, broken, depressed little boy. And you may have like, you're little? No, I was younger, so I grew up a scared, broken, depressed, younger boy. Everything on the outside seemed perfect. Life of the party, funny, yada, yada, yada. But it was just a facade. A facade is something you put up to hide whatever's behind it. Everything behind that facade was broken, full of depression and fear, fear of failing. So never really trying to begin with, thinking that you'd never really amount to anything except for what the world was telling you. Once football's over, you're done. You're just a mill hunky's kid. I was always happy, though, because I was drunk most of the time. It's easy to be happy when you're numbing things. Never really sought out. I had tons of friends. Tons. But only maybe one that I could call because he was going through the same things I was going through. Still a great friend. I could call him all the time and I'm believing he's going to meet Jesus. He was the best man at my wedding. He's going to meet Jesus. But then I met a girl. Totally not seeking out a relationship. I was at a 4th of July party with her oldest brother. And he got a phone call from his sister who was crying because some guy was being a meanie head. And I knew the conversation that was happening because her oldest brother is not quiet. He's like Kramer. He will tell you he's not, and if you tell him that, he doesn't understand, but Kramer didn't either. Watch Seinfeld. And he said, "Why can't you meet a nice guy?" And I kicked him in the shin, and he said, like my friend Nick. And I grabbed the phone, and I heard my now wife sniffles on the other end of the line. And I knew that all I needed to do was make her laugh. So I don't know where this came from. I don't know, but I said, hey, listen, you just need to drop that zero and get with a hero. And she did exactly what she's doing right now. And exactly what you all are doing. She laughed. And on July 9th, we went on our first date. And she fell hopelessly in love with me. And little under a year later, I met Jesus fully. And I had no idea that that relationship that I wasn't seeking out through her parents and through her grandparents, through her brothers, that I would meet Jesus. And that my life, my son's life, my future children's life, my grandchildren's life, would be changed forever because of a relationship I wasn't looking for. Relationships can and will change your life because God can and will do everything through relationship. And it starts with Him. So when I say relationships are important, it's because I lived it, and I've watched so many other people live it, and they weren't looking for it because it didn't look like it. It didn't smell like it. But I know that we are made for relationships. Genesis 2:18 declares that it is not good for a man to be alone. I know this is about marriage and relationships, but it's still not good for us to be alone. It's not. Relationships that have impacted your life for the good are powerful, and God is in it. The big idea of our time today is that relationships that transform us only happen when we get past our mindset that people are only out for themselves, or they're going to hurt us, or we're going to get hurt again if we put ourselves out there. We need to get past those mindsets and allow for us to be transformed by relationships, by the renewing of our minds, and by the revealing of God's truth. Allowing for ourselves to be refinished, renewed. The old is gone, the new is coming. Are there tissues anywhere? Can somebody get me? I'm a sniffling mess. Relationships are important. Thanks, Dawn. You're the best. I got so much stuff up here. I got a Twinkie. We had Twinkies at the men's night. Everybody's wondering why this is up here. They just put it up here. These are horrible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for apologizing for being real. I'm not sorry for sniffling. We need to reveal, remove, and replace the stuff that's keeping us from real relationships in our life, and then renew our minds through it. It's powerful when we allow for God to move in our lives through the relationships He wants us to have. I'm looking around this room, and I can share testimony after testimony on the behalf of people that have allowed for themselves to become part of a group. I didn't ask permission for people for me to do so, but you'll hear if you go to a group. If your life has been impacted by a connection group, just slip your hand up. I know this is risky for me to do. Okay. There's more stories than I thought. Taylor was scared. Taylor's like this. He's like, he knows me. He might share. That was way over 50% of the people in the room. And I'm sure every one of them would say it wasn't easy. But the Bible I read says that iron sharpens iron and a friend sharpens a friend. And I don't know if you've ever seen iron getting sharpened. It's never really that enjoyable looking for the iron. The sharpening stone looks like it's having fun. But the iron, while it's being sharpened, doesn't look like it's like, woohoo! This is great! No. Until it's fully sharpened, and then it's like, man, this is great to function exactly as I was designed to function. Now, I know what you're thinking. Iron doesn't talk, and sharpening stones don't talk. But in my world, everything talks. Go to the zoo with me. It is great. It's really fun. Everything talks. Like a walking Disney movie. Seriously, if teacups and clocks and all that stuff can talk in Lion King, or not Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, you know what I'm talking about. You knew what I was talking about, Chip. Cutest little teacup ever. But iron, it's not the most beautiful thing in the world. But when its function is it's designed to function, it's powerful. Listen, we need to put ourselves in a position to be sharpened. And groups is one of the greatest sharpening stones. And there's going to be times that you're getting sharpened, and there's going to be times where you're asked to do the sharpening. That's one of the most powerful things about group. It does make a difference what you believe about relationships, because what you believe determines how you behave. And this week, groups kick off. And whatever you believe about relationships and connection groups and whatever you've heard them called your whole entire life determines what you're going to do this week. I'm just going to stay home. Or I'm just going to get Pastor Nick off my back and I'm going to sign up and show him I signed up and I'm never going to participate. I'm never going to go. Tricked him. I'm not asking you to just commit to going to a group. I'm asking you to be a contributor to a group. Don't just be a consumer. We have tons of consumers in this world. Be a contributor. Be a contributor to the group that you say that you're going to be a part of. When you sign up to be a part, let your group leader know where you're at if you're not there. That's one of the greatest things as a group leader. When Steve ain't coming, I know where Steve's at. That's great to know. Your friends and relationships you have will determine the quality and direction of your life. I will guarantee that. Just like the guy from Men's Warehouse guarantees that you will love the way you look. You better for how much those suits cost there. I'm serious. So, if we don't have a strategy and we just have good intentions, I'm going to sign up for a group. I'm going to get past all these mindsets that I have about relationships and people and the stuff that they have done to me or I've had in the past. Those are just good intentions. Listen, This may sound harsh, but the pathway to hell is lined up with good intentions. I don't want good intentions. I want a good strategy. I want a good strategy. And I and Rachel have been praying against one of the strategies of the enemy for years and years and years. Because his strategies, he's not good at hiding them. He really isn't. And I want you to join us in prayer for one. Can you join us in prayer? Okay, four of you. I think, hey, listen, we're three or more gathered. Okay, I want you to join in prayer for this one. For men, it's really easy for us to create relationships. It just is. I don't know why. It's just it's more simple for guys. You know, we could just nudge each other and then we become friends. You know, we spill something and, oh, that's funny. You want to get coffee? We're just simple creatures. We're not stupid. We're simple. Okay? It just happens. I don't know what it is. It's just something that is. Okay? Now, some guys are hard. They're hard eggs to crack. I get that. But most of us are pretty simple. I'm tired of one of the schemes of the enemy. It is hard for ladies to have true. Now, guys, we don't have deep relationships sometimes. Sometimes they're just surface level. It is hard for ladies, though, to have and get relationships started. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing it. And this isn't just something that is in the church. I'm talking the big church, big C, in the world. This is in the world, too. I don't know why. It is a trap of the enemy to keep ladies from being in strong relationships with other ladies, encouraging each other, empowering each other, speaking truth to one another, equipping each other. And I'm tired of seeing it. And I think the main scheme of the enemy in that is this comparison game and the lies that the enemy speaks. I see it all the time. Older ladies trying to get younger ladies connected and younger ladies trying to get even younger ladies connected within Bridge City Students. And it's failing miserably sometimes. And it's because of lies that ladies are buying into. And I'm going to say two of the most powerful words that I could ever say. And it's going to be so caring and compassionate, but it may sound harsh. You ready? Write it down. Stop it. Just stop it. Be the person that's going to stop it. That's going to stop buying into the lies. Stop comparing. Stop listening to the lies at the end. Because you know who starts them? You. And we need to start renewing our minds. Get past it by sharing it with somebody else that's going to go to war with you and speak truth. Bring it to the light, because guess who has no power in the light? The enemy. And then bring somebody else in. And then somebody else in. And then bring somebody else in. Guess what? Then you have, guess, a group. And guess what kicked off today? Groups. It's going to pop up behind me. Groups start today. And then, look. There's a card on your seats. You can sign up for a group right now at your seat. You don't even have to walk to the back. Now, listen, I will tell you. You're all real excited. So I'm going to sign up for a group. I'm getting into a group today. He's really encouraged me. I'm so faith-filled now. I'm going to tell you something that's really going to rock your world and really throw you off a little bit here. One of the groups you were going to sign up for might be filled. I didn't tell you to sign up for the group that you wanted to sign up for. I told you to sign up for a group. We have 47 groups throughout Bridge City Church, and we are one church in four locations. It is not just the White Oak campus. It is Bridge City Church. And we have 47 groups to offer you, not just the ones that are hanging on the wall over there. And there's more in the cafe, and there's more in the lobby. It is about being a part of a group that becomes a group of friends that reads the Bible, prays, and decides what their next step is going to be. It has nothing to do with you being comfortable at first with the group you want to be a part of. It's about becoming a group of friends. There's Financial Peace University. You could sign up for that. That's at our North Braddock campus. Somebody said, is there a cost for Financial Peace University? Yes, there is a $100 cost for all. That is not from us. That is from Dave Ramsey to buy all the materials. And it is a 12-week course. So whatever $100 divided by 12 weeks is, you can pay that over time. And then if you graduate, there's a surprise for you at the end. So you can afford that. And if you can't, be honest and vulnerable about it. There's Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights that has groups within that. And guess what? That never fills up. But so many people are not open and honest and vulnerable enough to say, I have a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up that I need to get past. They think it's just about alcohol and drugs. No, it's about any hurt, habit, or hang-up. That covers a lot of things. There's 47 groups. If you scan this little QR code, it'll show you every single one of them. You say, well, I don't want to travel. I've seen you all travel to go get Cinnabons at Ross Park Mall. I drove to Ohio to go to an IHOP because we didn't have them here. And now that we have them here, I've never been back. Because if you go to the IHOP in Homestead, anyways, I digress. You got to have a strategy. Admit that you have a pattern. Ask for help in clarifying. Apply the word of God and truth in your life and actively pursue freedom. Make a strategy. That's going to pop up behind me and you can take a picture. But listen, a strategy is better than intentions. A strategy is better than intentions. Admit that you have a pattern. Ask for help. Apply the word of God and actively pursue freedom. And don't do this by yourself. Listen, you're not Rambo. You're not supposed to go into battle by yourself. He was discharged from the military and had to fight by himself because he was a lone soldier. He was doing things without orders. You ever watch that movie? I'd much rather be part of a team that is getting orders from somebody. Just saying. Let's go to Ephesians 4. We're going to unpack this whole entire message. It's about to get good. Okay. Everybody wonder what was in my bag? Anyone? Anyone? A little popcorn. I'm not telling you what time because we may or may not have ran out of the one time that's in here. Because I did such a great job of telling everybody what kind it was during the first worship experience. It's called Chicago style. Figure it out. We have Pittsburgh Popcorn Company for everybody for Connection Group kickoff back there. Anybody ever had it? Yeah, it's really good. But I pulled it out right now because it's about to get good. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Y'all ready? There's some kettle corn in here, too. This is three kind. This is like Punxsutawney style. Wasn't ready for that. That's good. All right, here we go. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Listen, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop till we go home to be with Jesus, because it's a process. Let's keep going. Verse 14. Then you will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced by when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the others grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Listen, let's unpack this a little bit. And there's a few amazing words throughout these verses that I want to focus on. And the first one is in verse 11, and it's gave. Christ gave to the church. Not only did he give everything in his life, but he gave us gifts. All of us have gifts to use. And you may be thinking, well, listen, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. We all have gifts that may fall into one of these giftings. Last week, I believe there was 357 people at church here at the White Oak campus alone. And we have connection group leaders, and they are the main source of pastoral care at Bridge City Church. You know why we have connection group leaders? Because myself and Rachel cannot care for 357 people. Jesus cared for 12. Some of our groups are capped at 15. And Jesus isn't leading any of our groups. He's leading through people. That's three more than Jesus had. So don't get frustrated when you hear a group is capped or closed off at 15. The connection group leaders that are sitting here are the main source of pastoral care, because it is so beautiful to see these people caring for people, because Rachel and I, it is our hearts to be everybody's best friends. It is our hearts to care for everybody. But I can't be, and Rachel can't be, at 13 birthday parties every Sunday. We want to be. But I literally weep when I see others at people's baseball games or basketball games or volleyball games. I literally weep when I see people at other people's retirement parties or graduation parties or birthday parties, fill in the blank, and they're fulfilling what the kingdom looks like, getting in other people's boats. I love seeing life happen. I love it so much. When we were at 200 at the White Oak campus, there was a break that needed to happen within me. I was the lid. I'll talk a little bit more of that in our next verse, verse 12, equipping. Transform relationships that help others become equipped to do the work of the ministry. When I caught that my job wasn't to do all the work of the ministry, but to equip others to do the work of the ministry, it was like a revelation straight from God. And Pastor Rick was used to give it to me. You know why? He threatened to fire me. Now, it was jokingly, kind of, in a loving, fatherly, elderly pastor boss kind of way. He leaned over the desk. He said, "Pastor Nick, if you turn in another receipt for Dunkin' Donuts on a Sunday morning because you're the one picking up the donuts, I will fire you." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you do not need to be picking up the donuts in the morning." This is like right after the White Oak campus launched a few years later. I said, "But I like doing it." He's like, "I don't care if you like doing it. Equip somebody else to do it." I said, but I'm going anyways. I'm getting a coffee in the morning. I want to do it. If you turn in another receipt for Dunkin' Donuts on Sunday morning, I will fire you. Can I still go get a coffee? Yeah, you can still go get a coffee. Okay. And when I left that office, I knew he was encouraging me. He said, you need to equip others to fall in love with serving the kingdom like you did. And I got it. Because that's why I was going to Dunkin' Donuts. That's why I was getting here early to get the donuts here, to unlock the door, to make sure the lights were on, to make sure the heat was running, or to make sure the heat wasn't running so I could turn the air conditioning on because I'm always hot. I was always hot. I'm freezing now all the time. I'm getting old. Pastor Larry's like, thank you, Jesus. That's an answered prayer. He's been praying for years. There's people who used to keep socks in the kitchen because I used to keep it so cold in here. Now it's just comfortable. But because of that conversation, there's a Dawn Kemper now and her team that cares for that cafe and that kitchen with such great joy. And iced coffee and hot coffee and stuff that I never dreamed of seeing. I couldn't pick all that up at Dunkin' Donuts. I sit at home now, just waiting after my 6:45 meeting on Sunday morning, just waiting, you know, because I don't need to rush here because others have been equipped to do things. Transform relationships, help others become equipped to do the work of the ministry and build it up. It lights people up. Verse 13, verse 12, build up, building people up. Verse 13, unity. Christian relationships are designed for unity. Designed for relationships that push us towards the standard by which God sets for his people. Transform relationships. Seek unity in Jesus' name. Verse 14, we see wind, and ironically, obedience to the Lord sometimes does bring us into storms. But here God meets us in ways that could never happen otherwise. Paul reminds us that through the church we grow up and we move from immaturity to maturity, and maturity truly matters. And so often we hear the word maturity and we think of age. And maturity really has nothing to do with age. Because I know some really old people that are really immature. And I know some really young people that are extremely mature. I'm talking about in the faith. Because I'm a Toys R Us kid. I'll never grow up. You know, I got that. Your toys just get bigger, okay, and more expensive. And have engines, right? Got into fish tanks. I don't know. Boy, have I been waiting on this. I just had to tell people. Lennon got a fish tank for Christmas. It is the most relaxing thing in the world. It's so relaxing. I don't get it. Anyways, these storms. Having these relationships that spur others to push us towards maturity in Christ and the ability to firm up any storm that the culture of the enemy throws at us is powerful. I'm looking around the room at the storms that are currently going on in people's lives or have just passed. Relationships have gotten a lot of us through. First and foremost, the relationship with Christ, but then the relationships with brothers and sisters. And it pains me to say, I could look around this room too and see some storms that are going on And there's not many brothers and sisters surrounding because there's isolation. Verse 15, speaking truth. Truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. It's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. We're able to be able, we have the ability to speak truth to people when we're in relationships with them where they know how much we care. Where they understand that we're not just being mean, but we're believing for the best. Paul, in this verse, emphasizes that as a friend in Christ, we should speak truth in love to believers. That means being able to say hard things, not to shame, but to help people become more like Christ. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. The enemy wants you to feel comforted. It's okay. Keep doing what you're doing. Just do you. It's okay. You're good. Meanwhile, a brother or sister in Christ is like, stop it. Remember what I said earlier? Did you write that down? Stop it. You can trust that. You're like, we're not friends yet. Well, give it some time. Sign up for my group. Or sign up for another group. And then look back at your notes where you wrote, stop it. February 4th, 2024, and the time. You're like, wow, that was deep. Transform relationships, speak truth in love so that believers can become more like Jesus. Growth happens here. The sanctification process happens here. Verse 16, we're all held together. This is it. This is where strength happens. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. All these imperfect pieces fitting together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There used to be a show called Growing Pains back in the day. Anybody remember that show? Yeah. What was the family's name in Growing Pains? The Seavers. Yeah, I forgot their name. I don't even remember the show, really. I just remember the name of it. It was going off air whenever I was young. And listen, Growing Pains are a real thing. I remember them. My shins literally hurt. They hurt so bad. I remember like my femur would hurt. My legs would hurt. And I remember going to the doctor. He's like, hey, it's growing pains. I'm like, well, this is not fun. But you know what? Those physical growing pains paled in comparison to the pains that I experienced growing in the kingdom. But the benefits don't even measure up. It's cool being this tall. It really is. Going to the grocery store is fun. You're always on duty. Always. I was literally on crutches, couldn't walk, and was sweating profusely because I was in so much pain. And this lady's like, hey, honey, could you grab that? And I was like, yeah, I got you. She's like, oh, I didn't even notice you were on crutches. I was like, I'm fascinated you didn't. And but I got it for her. It's fun, but the benefits from spiritual growth, man. Throw yourself in. Let these relationships that are around you that want to grow, allow them to grow. Throw some water on them. Transform relationships, speaking the truth in love. Let us equip one another and edify one another that all of us may grow up to be more like Christ every day. I'm praying and believing for relationships through groups, but I'm really praying and believing that your relationship with Jesus is solidified. We're getting ready to receive communion here. You can get your elements ready, your crackers and juice if you received them on the way in. If you didn't, just slip your hand up. The ushers will be around to give you your elements. But before we receive communion and remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I want you to be sure that you know exactly what you're remembering. You have to have first fully met him to be able to remember him. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've fully given your life to Jesus and received what he's done on the cross for you, you can't remember that. You can't bring honor and glory to what he did on the cross if you've never fully received that. So, if you don't have a day where you have repented of your past, received his forgiveness, and asked him to be the leader into your future, and accepted the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want today to be your day, February 4th, 2024. And we have people that are prepared to pray with you and encourage you and walk you through that. And I just want you to slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me today. I don't know that I've ever fully received that. Anyone at all today. The word says that the heavens will rejoice when one comes home. Anyone at all. Father God, I thank you for relationships. But first and foremost, I thank you for the relationship we get to have with you. And I thank you that by what you did on the cross, we get to be in complete relationship with the Father. We're back in right standing with him. Lord, thank you for your body, which you gave for us. And thank you for the blood that was shed to fully pay our debt and cover our sin and our shame. Lord, we take this cracker and this juice as a representation of your body and your blood and the covenant that was made. In your name we pray. Let's partake of the cracker and the juice together, church.